not take our time in the book of Acts where we have been studying, but we are going to go to the book of Psalms. And I want to read to you, which I will read again later on in my message, Psalm 119, if you would turn there. Psalm 119, verses 97 and through 99. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Father, we thank you today for your loving kindness. What a beautiful day you have given us. Father, you have replenished the earth with rain, but Father, you have offered something more important than rain or sunshine, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we have talked about this morning, just briefly right now, as we have sung together, as part of our worship. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to hang upon that cross for us. You paid our ransom. You purchased us with a faith when we believe that you are the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Father, we are placed into your hand, and we know that Scripture says that no one can pluck us from your hand. How fortunate we are, Lord. Lord, we've all come here today with different needs and concerns, some heavy weights weighing upon us. And Lord, in your time, I know that you will answer the prayers that we have prayed. But Father, through the process, through the pain, I pray that Father will continue to look to you. And some have come here today, Lord, with happy hearts, and we are here just to fellowship and learn from your word. So Lord, each one of us have come here in a different way, meet our needs. And Father, we know from Scripture that when things, right from Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that our testimony is very important. So Lord, I pray that as we walk through this week, that Lord, you will allow us. Lord, I take that back. I pray that Father, our testimony would speak wisely and carefully and loudly. And I pray that you would allow us to put words to what we believe and how we live. Thank you, Father, for those who have given their life to Jesus Christ, those who have given their service to Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the many missionary families that have gone out from this church. And we give you thanks and praise. So, Father, as we focus on missions today, I pray that, Father, our heart will truly be in this message, and there will be a time when you will speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we welcome back the Watsons, and they're in the back row there. And just raise your hand, Scott and Kathy. Welcome back. From Papua New Guinea. And as I said earlier, this is a Mission Sunday, and our focus is going to be on Nathaniel and Daniel Shrift. Now, where are you? There in the back row, too. Raise your hand. All right. And they're going to be leaving us, and they're going back to Brazil. So I wanted to focus our message around missions today. And I wanted to begin by talking about Nathaniel and Danielle. They've looked forward to this moment for the last several months. It really is one of those bittersweet moments. They've been with us, and yet they're going back to a very difficult mission field. and they've given their heart to serve, and they're going where God has called them. So I know they've looked forward to leaving, and yet they have all these friends here that they've made through this past year. They've been packing and putting the last things together they're going to need before they head back into the jungle in Brazil, double-checking their packing list and the weights of their suitcases, and they've been praying that God would meet their continued monthly support. And we're going to join you in that prayer request. As many of you may not know, Nathaniel and Danielle are MKs. An MK is a missionary kid, a second generation that have answered God's call to go to the mission field. Most of Nathaniel's life was spent in Brazil. Danielle grew up in the West African nation of Guinea. Now, Nathaniel and Danielle, just like Scott and Kathy, they're members of our church family, and they're one of the many missionaries that our church supports. And what makes it very special is their family, and we're very interested in what they're doing. So they, the Shrifts, they and their children, Tuli and Jesse, have lived in the mission house. Some of you may not even know that, but that house that sits next door to us over here to my right, your left, that is the Bennett House, named that for Bob Bennett's father, and in honor of Bob and Margaret as well, their mission and their service to what God has done in their lives. As the Shrift family is leaving, we're welcoming back Scott and Kathy. Life has a way of turning and moving. Well, they're going to take up residence in the mission house as well. For Nathaniel and Danielle, this really is a milestone. And for us as well as a church, it's part of the history of Dover Baptist Church. You see, God has given us the joy and the privilege of sending our own friends and family to the mission field. And from this moment on, Nathaniel and Danielle are going to be known as the family who has answered the call to go to the mission field in Brazil to the Dene tribe. And we have that privilege of praying for them. So what I want to tell you, and I think this message applies to all of us, but in specific, I want to aim my thoughts to Danielle and Nathaniel. Be prepared for anything. You are going to have some of the craziest things happen to you. I don't have to tell you that. I'm just reminding you that. You've already spent years in the Dene village. But I want to give you an example of some crazy things. This happened in Detroit. A minister of a small Detroit minister church thought that a practical joker was playing a trick on him when IOUs began showing up in the offering plate. One Sunday in the evening, weeks after this situation had begun, an envelope containing money equal to the total of the IOUs appeared. Now, after that first envelope appeared, the pastor could hardly wait to find out what this anonymous donor was going to do. Well, the contributions ranged anything from $10 to $100. I owe you for preaching this message. Well, based on what the donor thought the message was worth. One Sunday evening, the counter said, they brought the message to the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, here, you got to read this." And you know what it said? "Tonight's message, you owe me $50. Crazy things happen in ministry. They just do. Here's another situation. Church leaders in this little New Hampshire town, they'd voted to keep their minister in spite of his radical tendencies. A town member who had moved away came back, and he was talking to one of the elders. He came back for a visit, and he said, "I'm surprised that the elders have taken such a broad view of what your pastor is doing." And the elder said, "Broad view, that's nonsense. We know the pastor has some strange ideas, but we'd rather have him here." And with that, the elder winked and he said, "If that man wasn't here, he'd be somewhere else. These people, though, their people might listen to him." Oh. Now this, Nathaniel, Danielle, and to everyone here, I got some advice 34 years ago. It was at an ordination council. It was from an elderly Mennonite great-grandmother. And she gave me some of the most practical advice that I've really put my life around. Cindy and I have talked about this often. I want to pass that information on to all of you this morning. The message is free and it's brief, but I'm positive you're never going to forget it. Put this up on the screen, Beth. Choose your ruts carefully because you may be in them a long time. You see, with the winters we have here in New England, I believe that's very practical advice. But considering this advice is from a leadership role, I believe it's invaluable. I know from practical experience that this will work. It'll work very well. I'm positive this will work in Brazil and Papua New Guinea, here, in your workplace, in your school. Choose your ruts carefully because you're going to be in them a long time. I've known Nathaniel since 2004. He came to live and work for Gruen Construction, as it was known then. I was a little younger then. And for those of us who've known Nathaniel for a while, we all have stories about him. And I was reminded of this one story. We had him over for dinner one night. Nathaniel, you might remember this. And you had bought a Volkswagen. And I don't know if you were sitting on a bucket or a chair. You had stripped that car right out. Do you remember that? Were you sitting on a chair or a bucket? You don't remember? He took me out to show me the car. He was going to redo it. I mean, he had to. There was nothing there. Absolutely nothing. A steering wheel. And there's no interior whatsoever. I don't have any stories about Danielle. She is a sweet woman, a wonderful mother, and she puts up with Nathaniel. But it's my great joy to share with our congregation that you are once again being faithful, and you're returning to a very challenging mission field. Your congregation, us, this is our responsibility. We have the privilege of praying for them and your family, and we promise to pray for your protection. We promise to pray for your health and pray for your children, Tulia and Jesse. Pray that you're going to be able to reach the Dene people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're making this promise. It's a bold promise, but we're making this promise that we're going to pray with you and for you. You see, sending and resending missionaries back into the field, it's a joyful time. It's a bittersweet time. It's a proud time. And it's one of those times we feel a time of pride and loss at the same time. But before we do this, I just want to give you three very quick things this morning. We've already read scripture from Psalm 119, verses 97, but we can put that on the screen again. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate upon it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. We have enemies all around us, people. Satan places his emissaries, his demons, around us in different locations. I don't know where they are, but there's always temptation around us. But you see, when you're meditating on God's word, you have strength with you. You see, your enemies are always going to be around you, and we know for a fact that we will make enemies. They're ever with me. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate upon your statutes. You see, the reasons they're going back to this field is because God has called them there. And that's difficult when it's a difficult field. And that's why I shared these three verses here today, because this is one of the reasons you're going back to the field. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the reason missionaries go to the field. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. And this is grace, people. This is grace. While we are still sinning, and while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. So I want to charge you to make an appointment with God. So every one of us, make an appointment with God every day and keep it. Use this time to talk with him and listen to his voice. But you have to do this you must do this to be a successful man or a successful woman. You can't do this on your own. In fact, it's impossible. Make an appointment to be with God. There are going to be decisions to make, people to see, continued language study, things to hunt. This is, I'm speaking now specifically to Nathaniel, excuse me. Your husband, father, mother, wife, both of you are leaders, and none of these things can be done in your own strength. You see, this morning as a church, what we're doing is we're recognizing God's gifting upon you. But I don't know if you realize this, people, that when you desire to be a missionary, you're really taking on a God-sized task, one that requires supernatural strength and wisdom. So I'm charging all of us to love God. The Bible tells us to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. And I can tell you from my own experience, he will do that. So deepen your love relationship with God. Your ministry and your outgrowth and your walk with God will be incredible. And learn to lead these people, to love these people, this tribe from your knees. Secondly, I charge you to love God's word. This is Psalm 119. Verses 102 to 105. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Paul told Timothy to be diligent to present himself approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Those of you who go to Awana, that is the basic foundation of Awana. Study to show yourself to be an approved workman, one who doesn't need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. This book that we bring here every Sunday is the unchanging word of truth. Feed yourself on the truth so that you can bathe Adonai in scripture. You see, the message of your life, Nathaniel and Danielle, the message of your life is what they will see. People, the message of your life is what people see. Live for the Lord. And you see, sometimes that is the only spiritual nourishment people see. And finally, I charge you to love his people. Nathaniel and Danielle, there are going to be days of crisis. They could come very quickly. You're going to have opportunities like no one else to touch the lives of people you're called to love. Whatever the days of crisis are, and for us, whatever the days of crisis are, use them as an opportunity. So use those days as an opportunity to reach people for Jesus Christ. We're going to pray with you that you're going to have opportunity this term to introduce people to Jesus Christ. My prayer is that each one of us would have and take that prayer request upon themselves, that this year you would have opportunities to reach people for Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 13, Paul concludes the chapter with faith, hope, and love. And God says that the greatest of these three is love. He's communicated his love to us through Jesus. You see, love is the governing principle. So love the Adonai, even when they don't return your love. People, return. Love those around you, even when they don't return your love. Use your gifts. Use the gifts that God has given you. We're going to pray that God's going to open hearts and minds, and you're not going to have any difficulty doing this because you're servant leaders, one who serves with a humble heart. You see, you already do that. You've done that here. Now, there have been announcements made here in the church, but I don't know if you caught this, but Nathaniel and Danielle worked on the mission house while they were here. And there's a brand new kitchen that many of you women would love to have in your own house that he has built there. That's a gift to us. Our gift to him is to pray that God is going to bless he and his wife and his family, and that people are going to come to Christ. You see, that's our privilege and that's our responsibility. So I have a reminder right here. It's the very last two things I want to say, and I put these things in reverse. First, you need to choose your ruts carefully, for you're going to be in them a long time. And I don't know if this got put into this slide, but learn to love your people. Love your people. Love your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your family. Love the Lord. Love his word and love his people. And finally, choose your ruts carefully because you could be in them a very long time. Let's pray. Father, as a church, we're privileged to have people that have heard, they've heard your call. We are blessed. And Father, we thank you for this family that is going back to a difficult field. And we're just praying for open doors. Lord, these are not shallow words. They're just not something to fill time. These are words from my heart, and these are words I know that we will take to heart here as a church family, and we will pray for Nathaniel and Danielle. How we thank those who have heard the call to go out on the field, and how we thank each one of you here this morning who have heard the word of God and you desire to live it, to love the Lord, to love his word, and to love the people around you. Gracious Father, we thank you. We do love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now,